Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I thank God that He's moving by the Holy Spirit. I love looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of not only my faith, but our faith. Everybody that's in faith, everybody that's in one accord with the Lord, seeking to do His perfect will, not concerned about what they can produce, but looking to Jesus, knowing that He will produce His good pleasure in their life. You know, I was talking to my wife not long ago today. Today is December the 8th. It's Wednesday, December the 8th, 2021. And we were talking about how giving God the reins of your life. You can't just look at Jesus as a Savior without looking at Him as a King. He's a Savior because He's the King. He's the King of Kings. He became a man that He might be our Savior. And the Lord became flesh. He became a man to live with us, teach us, show us how heaven operates. He's our example. And He taught His people the way to go. He showed them step by step. He helped them make all the necessary adjustments that must be made. Now, yesterday's broadcast was called training. The Holy Spirit will train you to do His perfect will. And He has high standards and great things in store. Now, the more I learn from the Lord, the more I see the world system is not necessary. It shouldn't even exist. In the mind of God, it's something that never should have happened. But because it did, sad to say, we have to learn how it works and destroy it. Jesus came to not only save His people, but destroy the works of darkness. So I don't want any darkness in me. When He see me, I want Him to see Jesus. I want Him to see what the handiwork of Jesus in me. I want Father God and everybody else and all the angels and Satan and all the demons to see the handiwork of Jesus in me. I want my life to be the testimony that looks to Jesus. I want to be a living testimony that Jesus is, and He's the author and finisher of what He begins in us. Now, I talk a lot about following God because it's so necessary. And I understand being a man is so difficult to give God the reins of your heart. Man wants to control his own destiny. But if you ever learn to, like they say, let go and let God, if you know, that is the most important thing you could do. Following God, not trying to get God to follow you. If you try to get God to follow you, look at what's going on. Look at what's really happening. You want God to honor what you know and what we know. And from this, we just came out of darkness. So what convinces us is not always good. It's not always well thought out. But see, I learned something when you follow and trust God. When you follow God, the universe gets bigger. Your world gets bigger. Your potential gets bigger. Your influence, your advice. You're learning from Him all the time. You're looking to Him and you're gaining knowledge that other people cannot see. But we want people to see it. We want people to know what it is. Now, because my assignment was to teach people to follow God, and that's what He taught me for the last 30 years, ever since 1990. I learned it at the end of 1990, really. But in doing so, when He said the biggest problem in the church is His people don't follow Him, well, if that's corrected, that won't be a problem anymore. but the people that follow him will become a great asset to the kingdom of God and an asset to the harvest as well. Not only an asset to the harvest, but a major asset to everybody that believes on Jesus and is hungry and desire to know him. Now, see, the reason that's a revelation that God gave, and the reason it's so important, when people don't know what they're truly capable of, unless they yield and follow God, and they'll get to know him better. Now, I want to make it more real. All right, when people study the Word, get in the Word, get to know the Lord, they receive messages from him, they begin to follow God. That's following God too. But I want to say something that's greater than that. When you pray, when you take authority over the enemy, you have success again and again, major things happen in your life. A person that never had that happen before, that's amazing. And then a person that grows up in that world, in that arena, where you have a relationship with the Lord. That's off the charts, good. But when you follow God, keeping him first, he has the reins of your heart. You won't do anything unless he approves it. He trains you for what's next. He prepares you for what's next. You start seeing things in an exponential way. So let's do a comparison. And let's use a number scale. All right. Before a man meets Jesus, he thinks like he does. He's groomed by the negative world. So he just gets to know Jesus. The day before he gets to know Jesus, he's at negative 50. All right. Then he meets Jesus. He believes on him. The day that he receives Jesus, he's brought to the zero line. When Adam was in the garden, he's on the zero line. There was nothing wrong. He was not in the negative. His life was good. He knew who God was. He had a knowledge of God. He was growing. He was going forward. He was happy, and there was no problems. But when he ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he fell far below the zero line. When we receive salvation, Jesus, we're brought back to the zero line on my scale. Now, this is not a scale I researched somewhere. It's just one that I made up. That's what salvation does. Now, Jesus said, if you follow on to know the Lord, now you're going forward. After Paul was Pharisee Saul, so he was way below the zero line. He heard the preaching of Stephen while he held the coats and watched him stone that man to death. But the words spoke volumes to those Pharisee ears and disrupted that Pharisee mind, and it pricked his heart. On the road to Damascus, he's ready to put more Christians in jail or have them killed or whatever he did. And Jesus knocked him down. Now, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Now, when he made that statement, he was brought back to the zero line. He called Jesus Lord. Jesus answered, "I'm Jesus. Why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." See, when he was hurting God's people, he was hurting. That was Jesus. We're the body of Christ. So now he's at the zero line. He goes to get his sight. He goes to the street called Straight. He receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now he's at one. He's above the zero. He's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And nobody trusts him. The Pharisees hate him. And the Christians don't trust him. So he goes to Arabia, spends 3.5 years with the Lord. He comes back or trained. He received training by the Holy Ghost. So he goes because of his past training. All that was made corrected. So he had a jump because he already had a foundation of the word. It was just falsely applied. Now, at Stephen's doctrine, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a lot of things were corrected in him. And then he was trained by the Holy Spirit. So now he comes back and he's ready to do God's work. And they gave him the right hand of fellowship. But he was sent to the Gentiles. Now, I don't know how many years went by, but by the time he's dispatched, he was a prophet. And when the Lord sent him, he was called an apostle. He went under Barnabas to preach a word, to preach where God would send them. Now, so he got saved. He was at the zero line. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before training at the let's say the one line, positive one. He goes out and spends time with the Lord and comes back 3.5 years. Let's say he's positive 10. And then he's in the ministry doing the works of God. He sees miracles happen. He stands on the word. He's continually graduating. 15, positive 15, positive 20. Now, when people hear the word of God and they receive salvation, they come to the zero line. When they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they excel. And everybody's a little different. But when you learn to follow God and do precisely what he said, you begin to excel exponentially. You don't just receive the word of God. You reject darkness, just like Apostle Paul did. Now, some people do it if we know to do it, we can do it faster. But when you're pioneering, you graduate slower. But generations of people who follow God continually, it prepares the next generation with a jump, a boost. So the breakthroughs of my life, wherever I attain to, the next generation will be an exponential jump greater. And then when you follow God personally, when you have a relationship with the Lord and the Lord can tell you to do something, there's no hesitation. There's no dog bath war. And that reference comes from, trying to get people to follow God. It was like giving a dog a bath. If you try to give a dog a bath, they don't like that. That's a routine they just don't want to have. Now, to help all this make sense, when you're trying to get somebody to do something or receive something that they never heard from people that they trust more, it's like giving a dog a bath. I understand that. Here I am, a stranger, and God gave me this strange commission to tell people, to alert people to follow him. Now, it's one thing if they know you, and if they don't know nothing about you, sometimes that can work to God's favor. And he taught me not to take it personal when people didn't agree. And I had a strong love for the pastors that he sent me to. I listened to them on the radio, or some of them I knew, some of them I didn't. But I know he gave them a reference because he would give me what to write at home, and they'll be preaching half of it when I get to church. But the thing, they had a reference, in the 90s, in the early 90s when this happened. And, I did a broadcast last year. And the Lord called it dog bath wars. I said, Lord, you... I laugh because God has a sense of humor. He look at us and he see how we do things. He know what we think. And when I do these broadcasts, he don't do like a message. He don't always give me a title too. When I'm publishing it, I say, Lord, what do you want to call it? Because he started giving me titles about a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago. When he said dog bath wars, I couldn't do nothing but laugh. I knew it didn't come from me because I didn't think about it. I wouldn't have thought to put it that way. But you're trying to give somebody revelation that's been proven relevant by the Holy Spirit to you, and you're giving it to others, and they just can't see it. It's just like, you know, the dog need a bath because you can smell the dog. He hadn't had a bath in 2 or 3 days. He needs a bath today. So you give him a bath. But they don't like, dogs don't like to be wet, especially in the wintertime. And he has to stay in the house, and he's going to shake water all over the place, but he's got to have a bath. So the rewards are better. Once he has his bath, now he's clean, you know, he's fun to be around again. Now, those are the rewards for the dog. I'm not calling God's pastor's dogs either. But that's what it was like, trying to give a revelation to people that didn't see the point. Now, but when you receive what God is saying, what happens next, over time, you'll see the need of it. When I was given these words, I didn't see the need of it. I thought everything was fine, judging from my point of view. But for what God wanted to do, the status quo was not enough. It was too far below the standards that he had. And this is why I say that. When people don't know, I'm just going to use it for instance to give a better reference of this. When people don't know that to reject darkness, it complicates their life until they get it out of their life. Sometimes in those days, people, they left alone sin. They didn't want to be in the world, but the views was like that on average too. And I'm not talking about the local churches. I'm talking about the whole, all across the board, people on TV everywhere. You just come to the Lord. Don't sin, of course. But don't, they acted like sin was going to be a part of your life till Jesus come. But I found out by following God, you can reject it to the point that it doesn't bother you anymore. You don't want it in your life. You're free. That's why I talked about this a little bit yesterday's broadcast, how people say the flesh is evil. The flesh is no good. It's stinking flesh. It's no good. It's always wanting to do something wrong. If you receive God's word in your heart, renew your mind, like my pastor said, you got two against one, but the flesh can be trained to the point that it can be an asset, and it don't have to desire the works of the flesh that Paul listed in Galatians 5. You don't have to walk around desiring those evil thoughts and deeds. And you can speak it. I learned to speak the word by from Charles Capps. So I just started saying that I hate certain things. And it happened. And no matter what I saw, no matter what would normally be a desire, it was not. I could see it for what it is. Following God gives you an advantage. You can live your life with a God's eye point of view. The Word of God gives you a God's eye view of life. If you receive it, you can live that way. Now, the reason people don't know these things is because they don't go and say, well, Lord, I don't know how to live without desiring the wrong thing. Teach me how to do it. I never heard people say that, ever. And I've heard a lot of preachers I never heard him say it, and I never heard him say, well, the Lord said, well, if you do this and don't do, you know, they couldn't tell you how to do it because that was not a thing. But in following God, I learned all kind of things just like that. That's just an example. Also, the preparation it takes for the next glory. Now, people say the next level, but it's really the next glory. You prepare to go to the next glory and the next glory and the next glory. Every sanction of God has its own protocol. So when people try to, cookie cutter their ministry, they try to pattern their ministry after somebody else that they love and respect. That's far below the graph that I was talking about. See, when your ministry is unique and God give you your protocol, and some people never get a protocol from God. God attempt to give them one, but they don't ever receive it. They stay in the cookie cutter mode. They do no more, no less than what their predecessor did. That's not following God fully. That's following God on that glory. They're living on a glory. No matter how far above the zero line it might be, it can be impressive to people, but it's far below the standards of God. Because God will take you further. Every generation, God takes us to another glory. I've seen the church is growing from strength to strength. They're getting stronger. The problem is, people try to hold on to what was good in the past, or the limitations. All the pastors of the 70s, they were at a certain glory. The 80s. They had greater glory, so with the 90s. And then there's the decline. People backed off from doing, they backed off from their fervency. So some churches actually regressed while some excel. But as I followed God, I kept learning from the Lord. I kept hearing things in the prayer room that I was not hearing in the pulpit. And it took about a decade for me to see the need. It took a few years. I started seeing what God was saying, and I saw the reluctance. I experienced reluctance more than gratitude. So, in obedience to God, you know, I experienced the reluctance, and I said, "We got a problem." And then, the Lord would give me comparisons. What would happen if people fall in, and what would happen if they don't? And I long for people to follow God. But they couldn't see what I saw because God had given me a revelation that they never received. Not only them, the people that they looked to, the pastors that they did trust, the people from that blessed us all. Some things I can say I learned from the Lord that I never heard the greatest men of God teach. Well, I'm still standing on their shoulders because, you know, I received the light that they had, and the Lord helped me to go further than I would have and learn things in a greater way. This is not a competition. Every generation, when we break through the raggedy world, we grow. That's how it is. And when you supersede the world, you learn. When you look to the Lord, you learn. Every day you can learn something new from the Lord. Every day. And when that process is intact, then God can sanction you to do greater things. He can prepare you so that you will receive His word, not get in pride, be a blessing to others, and rejoice. And trusting God becomes so much more easier. It's so easy to just trust. You know you know He's there. You know He's with you. You feel His presence. And you want great things for everybody. When other people do greater things, you rejoice. Because you know the kingdom of God is growing from glory to glory. When people do well and they see things, they speak beyond their years, you rejoice with them and for them. Everybody that receives revelation from the Lord, they have something from the Lord. And if you want that revelation, you have to see them. Now, and I love to receive revelation from people. It makes my life better. So when you live in His presence, like I prayed to do, you start learning. When you follow God, over time, you excel exponentially. While some are 20 positive, or 20 or 30 positive, as you follow God, He excels you. You can do things on a greater way, in a much greater way. You could be 100 points above the zero line on my graph, my made up, just to give you a visual. The next generation, if the generation after us gets to 200, the generation after them can get to 2,000. That's just an example of what God can do in our life. In my life, the Lord, sometimes He'll wake me up and tell me things, or have me to pray for people. And He show me what He's doing. Sometimes it's big. It's more than what I can believe Him for. But see, this is the thing about the anointing. The Lord have me to pray for something that I would struggle to believe for. But see, when He tell me to believe, that's when the gift of faith operates. So I used to wonder, why did He tell me to pray for something so big? When I realized that I did it, this is why. He taught me about the gift of faith. He said, when you can believe, as a Christian, we believe God according to the power that works in us, Ephesians 3. And I can explain it better with this one, with this scripture. He said, let's see, where is it here? We believe Him. Okay. Ephesians 3:20. It says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So I said, Lord, one day I asked Him, I said, what is the power that works in us? What is Paul talking about? The power that worketh in us. And He answered me. He said, it's the sum of what you believe. It's the sum, S-U-M, of what you believe. Just like 4 is the sum of 2 + 2. You sum up everything you believe, that's the power that works in you. Okay, now God wants me to believe Him for something that's just over the top to my mind. That's where the gift of faith comes in. I believe with all I got, but the faith that's necessary, He gives it to me. Now, it works that way. I can pick out things to pray for, but when the Lord does it, I know the gift of faith is on me too. And guess what? When it happens, you don't get in pride, because you have training from the Lord. When you have to do a long-term work that nobody can see, there's nothing that they can point at and say, well, you've been working. You can stick with the long-term work when you are trained in the Holy Ghost. He kept giving me revelation decade after decade. And then I said, but the assignments that He gave me, I was not releasing that revelation. I was learning that revelation. And I said, I want to see where this goes. I want to see what happens. I got curious. And then when He gave me in 2016, He gave me Heart to Heart. And He prepared me for it. See, He didn't just tell me to do it one day. He groomed me for it. He prepared me for it. He said, people are going to want to hear you. He kept telling me that. I said, when He's talking in repetition, He's putting His word in my heart for a reason. And He kept giving me revelation. revelation all the time. See, when you follow God, he will prepare you for a work. Every work of God will not happen in 2 or 3 years. Sometimes you have to train and train and train and train. And then when you're ready, he's ready and it works. And I said, Lord, I knew great things were supposed to happen in a certain pastor's life. I said, Lord, can I go and talk to these pastors now? What will happen if they start listening? He said, it won't work now. I said, why? He said, they wasted too much training time. See, I learned these things from what I'm trying to relay to people is this. It goes back to the Lord's Prayer. Luke chapter 11. If you have to watch Jesus, what he's saying. You have to watch him. He's saying a lot. He said, now the disciples asked him, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now watch this. I'm just going to read verse 2. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. In other words, that prayer starts out with you looking to the Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when he finished, you know all things will be added. See, he said, give us day by day our daily bread. That's included. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When you embrace the order of God, you're going to learn things that you cannot learn any other way. Consider these things. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mighty to move in.